Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, our Scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, which say, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open." These verses talk about prayer, talk about asking God for the things that we need. And it's a great encouragement because if you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, the Lord, you shall find. And if you knock, it'll be opened unto you. The Lord wants to answer our prayers. As we live a godly life, as we live in submission to Him and to His will, God continues to bless us and open doors for us and helps us. And the biggest thing is, He answers our prayers and blesses us with that. What a great God we have to serve.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages, they are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. This week, our mission focus is on transformation beyond the classroom and character development and the power of prayer in Mokanji. The transformation at Faith Christian Academy goes deeper than just reading and writing. Take Christopher, for example. He had never heard a Christian prayer before attending FCA, but now he prays with a sincerity that moves his teachers to tears. Then there is Cooley, a boy once known for hitting girls. Today, Cooley is learning that God calls him to protect and care for others as the seed of dignity and love takes root in his heart. These children are learning they are made in God's image in a safe, nurturing environment. FCA provides books, uniforms, and meals, but most importantly, it provides a foundation of truth. As these boys and girls learn to live out their faith through everyday choices, they are becoming servant leaders in their homes. Pray for the $71,000 annual operating budget of FCA. Every dollar given is currently being doubled by a generous $32,000 matching gift, allowing your impact to reach twice as many children like Christopher and Cooley. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the mission field. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. Have you ever wondered what life is really all about? Why we're here, or what our true purpose is? Canada's National Bible Hour wants to help you find those answers. We're offering a free booklet called The Purpose and Meaning of Life, From Creation to the Cross by Ken Ham. It's a powerful little resource that helps you see what the book of Genesis says about life's meaning. And it answers big questions like, who were the two Adams? And what does creation reveal about why we exist? We'd love to send you a copy, absolutely free. Just write to Mission Go, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77. That's Mission Go, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77. Ask for your free copy of The Purpose and Meaning of Life. You'll be glad you did.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman. Printed copies are available upon request.
The last time we were together, we began a series on replacement theology, a view that is sweeping across the globe today. This position holds that God has no future plans for the nation of Israel or the Jewish people. When they rejected Jesus as their Messiah, God's plan for them was completed. The promises God made in the scriptures concerning the future of that nation and people has been transferred to the church. Today, we will search the scriptures to discern what the Bible has to say about it. To begin our study, we turn to Ezekiel 28, verses 25 and 26, where God makes some very clear promises to the nation of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. And they will dwell safely, build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I execute judgment on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. In these two verses, we have a summary of what God is going to do for the nation of Israel in the future. First, it becomes very evident that they will be living in what we know as Israel today. for God says it will be their own land, which he gave to Jacob. Next, we see that they will be gathered from the nations of the world where they've been scattered. They will dwell in peace and safety while God judges the surrounding nations for what they have done to his people. Finally, this takes place when they as a nation will turn to the Lord. That only happens at the return of Christ to the earth, at the time Zechariah the prophet spoke of in chapter 12, verse 10 of his book, where writing about the Jewish people of the future says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for firstborn." There is no way in the world that anyone can claim that this promise has anything to do with the church. It is all clearly about the future of Israel. From here we move on over to chapter 34 of Ezekiel, where because the narrative is so extensive, we will select only key verses to help prove our point. In this chapter, the Lord builds his argument around the sheep and their shepherds. He charges the shepherds or leaders of Israel with leading the sheep astray from the Lord. They did it for their own gain, causing the sheep to go away from God. Because of this, the Jewish people became prey to the Gentile nations and were scattered abroad. Then in verse 10, the Lord says he will take over as the true shepherd of the flock. When he does it, the sheep will no longer be prey for the nations, and he will feed them. For thus says the Lord God, "Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish my shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. That's Ezekiel 34, 11 to 13, verses 22 to 24, and verses 38 to 41. There are several very important things that stand out in these verses. The first thing is that the Lord called Israel his flock. Then we note that he will bring the scattered sheep back to the land of Israel. Since this book was written several hundred years after the demise of David, he could only rule over Israel after his resurrection. That will take place at the second coming of Christ. They will dwell safely in the land of Israel, and they as a nation will have turned back to the Lord. As we consider these things, there's no way this can be transferred to the church. For one thing, God has never promised the church any land. The church has never been scattered across the earth as the Jewish people have. Here is a picture of the Jewish people turning to the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, just as predicted by Zechariah 12:10. It has nothing to do with the church. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord told Israel that when he scattered them among the nations of the world, they profaned his holy name. He goes on to state that the reason he will bring them back home to their land is because it is for his name's sake. He made a covenant back in Genesis that promised Israel a land forever, and he plans to keep that promise in spite of what they have done. Beginning in Ezekiel 36, verse 24, we read, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take this heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. Not for your sakes do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities and in the ruins, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they shall say, this land that was desolate has become as the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as a holy sacrifice, like the flock of Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with the flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." What we have read here is a very clear promise to the children of Israel. God will gather them from all the nations of the world to bring them back to the land he promised their forefathers. The remnant of Jewish people will finally turn to the Lord, and he will bless them because he is a God who keeps his word. Would you agree with me that this is a very clear promise made so long ago? In no way is there anything of this portion of Scripture about the church, nor is the land promised to a spiritual Israel. It is returned to the people God originally intended to possess it, the Israelites or the Jewish people. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel makes the future return and possession of the land of Israel by the Jewish people even more clear. We learn about this from two separate sections in the chapter. In the first half of the chapter, we have the vision of Ezekiel in a valley full of dry bones. Twice he is told to prophesy over these dry bones. As a final result, the bodies that are formed on the bones are resurrected and are alive. He is told that by the Lord God, Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. That's Ezekiel 37:11-14. In this first section, we find one of the greatest prophecies, declaring that God will not only bring the Jewish people back to their ancient homeland once again, but that he will just put his spirit within them so they will live and so they will live the way the Lord always wanted them to since the beginning of days and since the beginning of time, since the beginning with Abraham. Again, there is no possibility of putting the church in here to replace the promises given to the Jewish people. In the last half of Ezekiel 37, the prophet is told by the Lord to take two sticks in his hand and write on them. One represents the kingdom of Judah and the other the kingdom of Ephraim or Israel. Here's an illustrative picture of the division in the land of Israel into two kingdoms after the reign of Solomon. The people to whom the book of Ezekiel was written would clearly understand this symbolism. These sticks would become one in the Lord's hand. We pick up the narrative in verse 20. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be over them. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall all also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. There are several things in this passage that need to be brought out here. First of all, God makes an everlasting covenant here with the forgiven people of Israel. His spirit is put within them, which only takes place when a person comes to know the Lord. Also, the nation of people that is regathered from the ends of the earth will never be divided or scattered again. God will be dwelling with them, and they will all come under the everlasting covenant. It becomes very clear then that all the above promises must be fulfilled literally. God has over and over again made it very clear there is a future for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. If God's word is true, then to change these verses to mean the church is totally against all rules of grammar and interpretation. Finally, we will take a look at Jeremiah 31, verses 33 to 37. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus saith the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea, and the waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done, says the Lord. The message today is different than usual. It contains a lot of scripture, as I seek to make one point very clear. Nowhere in scripture has God forsaken Israel. They will have a future promised by God. He has never failed to keep his promises, and he never will.
Supporting our work in Sierra Leone is like joining a great landscape project for the kingdom. By investing in Faith Christian Academy located on our Mokanji campus, you are planting seeds of truth in young hearts like little Tina, Christopher, and Kuli, who have long been parched of God's word. Likewise, when you support the Mokanji Hospital, you are building the protective walls of security by providing the medical equipment, allowing those seeds to take root and grow in a safe, nurturing environment, because a generous friend is currently doubling every gift for the school up to $32,000, your heart for these children can produce twice the harvest. Simultaneously, your support for the $22,000 hospital project ensures that thousands of mothers and children receive the life-saving care they desperately need. We invite you to take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible, Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Remember to order your copy of the booklet, The Purpose and Meaning of Life, From Creation to the Cross. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without their support. If you would like to reach us or learn more about the projects in Sierra Leone, you can write in Canada, Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, Postal Code L2R7A7. In the United States, Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, Zip Code 14231. Visit www.missiongo.org. Email media@missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers as we continue to send followers of Jesus Christ to disciple the nations.